We are up to Simon Topsa design. And we are up to Seif Yud. We're going to be discussing the following halachas tonight. The halachas of the first halacha in Seif Yud is a discussion of Zimun. We discussed extensively that besides the, when it comes to the birds or to the animals which are in your possession, you want to shecht and eat them on Yom Tov, you may enjoy them. We spoke about the tzot aspect, which we've now covered. And now we're going to be discussing the... So we spoke also that in order to avoid it being mukta, you've got to designate it and specify it. How do you actually specify an animal? What do you do about it? What is the hocus pocus that you do for the bird? That it should be designated and set aside, that you're allowed to, take it, that it shouldn't be mukta. How do you set aside an animal? What do you do about it? Shulchan Aruch Seif Yud, page 210. Ketzad, how do you do a zimun? How do you do a zimun? How do you do a how do you specify and designate your animal? Oimer, he says, ze veze ani noitel lemocho. This one and this one, I am taking tomorrow, and I'm going to be eating it. So all you need to say, this one. Anyone, you specify it, you verbalize it, you make an oral statement by specifying and pointing to it and say that this is mine. You do not need to shake it. Don't take that bird and shock it like a lulav and say this is the one I'm going to use. No, you don't need to do all that. Yeah, so that's, you don't need a, and you don't need an action. You don't need to physically shake it. But if you say mikan ani noite lemocho, I'm going to be taking from there, that's not good enough. Lo isagi, that's not good enough. Just to point to a certain area and say I'm taking from there, that's not sufficient. Why not? Mishnebuin Sefkotten Lamed Base Lo isagi, this is not sufficient to make this vague statement I'm taking from there. It's not specified enough. It's not specific enough. You can't just say from there I'm taking. You're gonna have more identification. Maybe trace and tracking would do the trick. But as long as you just like say vaguely, I know it's about there, that doesn't help. Okay, see if you'd aleph. Im zimen kol ha-shevach. If you say, okay, this whole nest over here, I'm going to be taking from this entire nest. Im zimen kol ha-shevach. V'eino tzorich edo lezug. But really, you only need a couple. Then any moil, it's not good either. You can't just take out this huge nest, which may have quite a large quantity of birds, and you say I'm taking from there, but only needing two of them. That's not good either. It's any moil because it's not specific. It's not enough. It's not you've been too vague. Mishnebura adds, and that's the same idea. Him zimin kol hashevach sivkot lamed gimel. Then similarly also le zimin zuk. If you say I want two, ve'yainu tzoich elal echad mehem, but you really only need one. He would say, okay, I'm going to take a couple from there, but you need only one. That's also not good enough because you can only specify the ones you're actually going to need. So if you have a whole nest and you say I'm going to be taking from there and you only need a couple, so you've wasted your time. They're mukta. All of them are mukta. Similarly, if you need one and you say I'm going to take from those and it's a couple of them, that's also not good enough because you've not identified the ones you're going to need. Continues the Shulchan Aruch and he adds, what happens though in this scenario of the entire nest? And you say, oh, I'm going to be taken from there. But there's a realistic potential chance that you will be very hungry and you're going to go through all those birds. If it's realistic, it's potentially possible that's going to happen, then yochel hazman kol hashevach, then it's fine. Then keep going, it's alright. You can say, oh, I'm going to take from that nest. Because if ultimately it's possible and feasible and realistic, you're going to be taking the entire nest, then it's fine. Even if, lemocha, noitel kol mashetzach, even if at the end of the day, you're not going to be eating all of them, you're not going to be needing all of them, you only take a part of them, then it's still fine. Because it was realistic. When you actually set them aside, you were honest and you were realistic. So if you say, okay, I'm setting aside this entire nest, so it depends. If it's realistic, you're going to go through all of them, it's fine. If it's not realistic and it's dishonest, then they all remain muktzah.
Maybe orchim, and that's a way of, in a way, cooking more than maybe you really need. Why are we being more machmir here? Why can't we say maybe
orchim
can't eat more than one?
Good question. Very good question. Got to think about this. I don't know the answer offhand. It's a really good question. Can anybody answer this excellent question?
Are we speaking about Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Yeah, even in Yom Tov we find the same concept. Hoyl ve ikle oichim. I don't know. There's obviously a distinction between mukta. We don't generally find this concept of perhaps oichim are going to come. We don't find this generally in regards to muktzah. It needs to be thought through. Question is, why don't we say it? It's a good question.
Is that because Chazal gave chizuk to Abraham?
I don't know. See if you'd base. Zimein Shnaim. What happens if you identify two? You say, okay, I want this one and I want that one. This bird over here looks just right for me, and that bird also looks just right for me. This one is for Friday night, this one is for Yom Tov night, and this is for Yom Tov day. They look just right. Lo and behold, when you ended up trying to take them, you found in that very place where there were two birds yesterday before Yom Tov, you suddenly find three birds there. What would you do then? What would you do? Can you take them or not? You designate two and you find three. Yeah, there was two yesterday, yeah. And now you're just suddenly finding three. Yosla, what do you say? You designate two and you find three.
You're lucky.
Yeah, but can you eat them?
You know, if they could have...
But they are not designated. Is it a migu? Since I could have. Okay. What about the similar scenario, but yet different? There was in that nest. What's not called? What is that called? The Naftali. What was the word used in the? Yeah, there was some black ones and some white ones, and you knew which ones belonged to which department. There was the black ones on one side, and there was social distancing to the white one with the separation as well. And next day when you come and pick them up, you actually find a bit of a confusion there. The white one is where the black one was meant to be, and vice versa. But what happens then? But you clearly designate them before Yom Tov. You say, I want this white one, this black one. And lo and behold, you show up on Yom Tov trying to take them, and they are in the different positions, different places. What's then?
I would say no problem.
No problem. Why?
Because why should the position matter?
Well, okay, good. I should have clarified. There's others there too. The question is, can I assume it's the same ones? Or do I have to assume these are different ones now? Since they've changed position, perhaps it's not the ones from yesterday. If they would have remained in the same place, now I know the black one over here, this is the one I've designated. The white one over there, that's the one I appointed yesterday. But now that they are in different places, perhaps there's altogether confusion. It might be a different white one, it might be a different black one. There's others there too. So the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, bottom of page 210, Zimin Shnayim v'Matzah Shloisha. If you appointed two, you designated two, you found three. Oy, alternatively, Zimin Shechayirim v'Levonim. You designated black and white ones. The Kinyim Amuvdonim v'Mechitza, when there was a separating Mechitza between them. V'Matzah Shechayirim v'Makom Levonim. You found the black ones in the. You found the black ones where the white ones were. Belevonim makom shchayrim and vice versa. They've clearly asurin. They are all asur. Whether in the question of two and having three, and whether in the question of having changed positions and changed locations, they are also, because I've got to assume these are different birds. I don't know, especially in the first case when I end up having three. How can I take two from them? I might be taking the third one who showed up from anywhere else which I've never designated. How can I take two, knowing very well and having evidence that there's a third one which I've never designated, which remains Muktzah? So this Muktzah one might be the one which I'm going to end up taking. Consequently, whoops, I think I've lost them. We're on, we're good. I'm back. Don't know what happened there, but I'm back. I know what it is. It's because I speak about blacks and whites. Oh.
Can't hear you.
All right. Carry on. I know why I got muted. I suspect because I spoke about black and white, so maybe there's some sort of. And nowadays, maybe there's some system that ensures no discrimination takes place. So I'm not quite sure when I lost you, when you lost me. So in the scenario of having two and then a third one, I can't take two of those three because the third one is inevitable. One of those three is a non-designated and therefore a muktzah bird. So therefore I can't take it. Similarly, the other one, where there's that confusion, once I don't know anymore, this could be a different bird, this could be a different black one, this could be a different white one. So I might have lost all of them, and therefore they are also Elohim came, the last four words of the Seif, unless Makiron, I recognize them. Obviously, if I recognize the birds, if I'm kind of an expert and I recognize the birds by sight, then if I've designated, oh yeah, I know this is my bird, this is my Yom Tov lunch, I recognize him, and this is my Yom Tov evening one, and he's hopping around all happily, and you recognize it, so yes, you can take it, even if it's in a different compartment, you can take it. But if you don't recognize it, then you've got to refrain from eating because its position has changed. Okay. What about the opposite scenario? You designated three and you only found two. Zimin Shlosh v'Motzah Shnayim. What would you say then? Sam, what do you say? You can have them both, absolutely. Zimin Shlosha, you appointed three. Okay, this one over there, that's Friday night. Oh, not Friday night, that's Yom Tov evening. That's the second evening, and that's the Yom Tov meal by day. And then you only find two when you actually go and pick them up. So Zimin Shlosha, Motzah Shnayim, Mutorim, they're all permitted. Afunim Mekushorim Biyachad. If they were tied together and one of them got loose, Mintachim Adodi, you just assume one of them got loose. So if you appointed more and there's you just assume that one of them escaped and the remaining are permitted. See if you dalet. Yeah. Yeah. Zimin b'soy chakein. What happens if you designated birds within the cage, and you found them outside the cage? So they were, when you designated them, they were inside, and when you go and pick them up on Yom Tov, they are outside, just outside, hopping outside. So Zimin b'soy chakein v'motzel lifnei akein, also, they're also. We assume these are different ones, because generally birds will remain in their cage. So we're assuming that they are different ones. If it remains to the same cane, acher, unless you know there's no bird anywhere nearby, so then hared mutom, then it's permitted. But even that's not necessarily true. Even if there's no birds nearby, that's if there are, if these birds are just young birds that cannot fly. But if they're flying, if the birds are already fully grown and they can fly, assume they're also, because if you find birds outside of the cage, you could say, well, if they're flying birds, you could say, well, they may have come from anywhere else, and therefore it's also. So if they're in the cage, they're fine. If they're out of the cage, you've got to look. Are they flying ones or not flying? If they can't fly, then it's fine. Take them. If they can fly, then you've got to assume that perhaps they came from elsewhere.
Just on a bit of background, why are we not lenient with Muktzah when it comes to what I call Nefesh? If you're dealing with Oineg Yotzah or Oineg Shabbos, and the issue is only one of Muktzah where there is a sopik, whether or not this is or is not your bird, or then why is there not a heter to take that one or to take others?
I value your question very much, Brad. It's a very interesting question. So you are saying that, we don't necessarily allow a rabbinical issa for the purpose of Oinek Yom Tov, but you are saying that it's a sofek. Since it's a sofek, I don't know which bird it is. It could be fine, it could be not fine. So you're saying that it should be a sofek derabonon, and based on that, it should be permitted. You're saying sofek derabonon lekulav. That's your question. So that's a good question. Mishnah Berurah asks your question, and Mishnah Berurah answers the end of Kot Lamed Vav. So thank you for pointing out. Mishnah Berurah says, because that's bottom of page 210, he says as follows. We don't say bittul, and similarly we also don't say there's a bittul taking place, and we don't say sofek d'abon for the same reason. So he says two reasons why we wouldn't say bittul in this scenario. Reason number one is because it's something which is choshev and not bottle. The rule of bittul, of something becoming nullified, that is always by definition because something loses importance. He says animals, birds, has got chashivus. It's something which has got importance. It's not something which can just be nullified, one against three. It's not bottle. Similarly, he says, kam hudovo sheish lematin, as we have discussed previously, we just spoke about it a couple of days ago, in a similar context, we learned that whenever there's a suffix generally, if the rule applies of dovo sheish lematin, something which will become mutter, just by giving it a bit of time, then we tend to be much more stringent. So here too, this would apply. It's not something which the Issa will be attached to it forever. On the contrary, after Yom Tov, these birds are all going to be perfectly permissible by all accounts. Therefore, we don't say bittul, and we don't say bittul because it's dovah sheish lematirin. Just wait until after Yom Tov. You can then consume and enjoy it. So that will answer your question. That's why Chachamim were very stringent with regards to all the sfeikas here and bitulim, because it's something which will naturally become mutter. No, but thank you for your question, which is a very good question. Yeah, okay, so let's stop over here. Just summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke about the halacha of of how you designate something. We said you don't have to shake it, you don't have to move it. All you need to do is you need to say, this one I'm going to eat and I'm going to enjoy tomorrow. We also said that if you're too vague, that's not going to work. So if you speak about the birds being in a kind of vague area, that's not helpful, and that's not going to be good enough. You need to be more specific. Similarly, also, if you designate the entire nest, and you only intend to have a couple of them, all of them are muktzah, unless you've got realistic, you're gonna eat all of them. Similarly, if you say I'm going to eat those two, you only need one of them, that's not good enough. If you only need one, so you've got to be specific. What's realistic you're actually going to eat? We then spoke about the three and two, and the white ones and the colorful ones. And then if they have displaced themselves, then the mice also, unless you can recognize them. We spoke about the opposite case of appointing three and finding two. That's going to be permitted. If they're not in the cage anymore, but they've gone down, they're outside of the cage, then they are mukta, unless they are completely, there's no other birds around. But here again, if they are able to fly, then they are also. Okay, gentlemen, I wish you a very, very good Shabbos.